We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Light Years podcast. Andy, the Warriors are officially starting practice with the four players who do not have COVID Monday morning.
Dieter's just laughing. I'm watching Dieter Kurtenbach, by the way, who's joining a special guest, just giggling.
Hi, guys.
No, I only make a joke of it because we know two Warriors got it, although we don't formally know who.
Yeah.
And
wink.
Yeah, today Champs Charania let us know that Portland has shut down their facility because they had a bunch of COVID tests. Jeez. It's off to an interesting start.
I just don't know how that anyone thinks that this is going to work. Like, baseball couldn't pull it off, and they have teams flying in for the whole weekend, like, right, locking up. And, I mean, the Warriors are going to go from Brooklyn to Milwaukee to Chicago to Detroit. Like, one of those is an easy bus ride, but like, ever, like, the amount of planes and hotels that they're gonna have to jump in over the course of 2 weeks just to start the season is, right, completely laughable. Like, the reason,
I mean, they are flying private.
I get that, but like, the crew isn't the same crew, you know. Your the hotel thing is huge. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how
I guess with the NFL, you can kind of get away with it. There's just a lot of people. There's a lot of players on the roster. It's like 100 people, right? 53 or whatever.
And they're still struggling with it.
And they're still struggling with the NBA. It's like you got 10 guys. You got 50. Well, you got really 5 guys that matter. Maybe 8 guys that matter. Yeah. And so I'm talking about like on each roster, right?
Right.
So if someone like Steph Curry or someone gets COVID, he's out for 2 weeks. I mean, the team's going 0-9, right? Like, it's not like the NFL. If you lose a running back for a week, you can get away with it. But
right.
But we've, I think, only that's had the tough part.
We've only had, like, what, 2 quarterbacks test positive?
Yeah, obviously Lamar Jackson, probably the most high-profile one.
Yeah. And then Cam got it.
Well, and of course, whatever the heck happened with Broncos. Denver's quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I guess it doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. They're all trash.
Listen, they had a little experiment. It was probably more interesting that way. But,
yeah.
Like, you're right. Like, you know, they're flying private. They're in, you know, swanky hotels and stuff, but just a lot of moving parts. And if like the Warriors are like hardcore about it, or like the Atlanta Hawks are hardcore about it, there's 29 other teams. And we saw what happened in baseball. Like, there's just going to be teams that are flipping and just don't care. And there's some cities that like, I wouldn't want to be hanging out in like right now, not up here. Ironically, the one place that you can't do anything is the one place that you probably would want to be hanging out and doing something. But like, I don't know, like, you're in Houston. Like, how many people are you going to have to interact with? That's just it's a
longer season. I think that's the bigger thing. Baseball barely held it together for a 2 month season.
Yeah,
right.
100%.
NFL, it's a short season and it's so regimented. It's like militaristic, and it's like, and then we fly out Friday and then we leave Sunday night and that sort of thing. Basketball, it's kind of more transient. It's very like, we're going to fly into this city this day, this city that day. You have a couple off days in New York. I'm sure you want to go do something. Like,
just one restaurant totally screws this up. I mean, it's just the cut and dry. But one guy not wearing a mask in a locker room screws it up. I find it laughable. I've been in these locker rooms in the NBA. Like, NFL locker rooms are huge outside of the Raiders. And I'm sure they now have a locker room that's bigger than the entire Coliseum. But like, dude, I mean, these NBA visiting locker rooms are tight. There's just no way if someone's, you know, asymptomatic, as they probably are, like, there's just no way. I would imagine that the NBA's sole focus right now is trying to get these guys on the front line for the vaccine. Like, just like super spreader clause, because we're going to have weeks where teams are out. Like, just, we're shutting down everything. Yeah. We can't do anything for weeks. And at the end of the season, there's going to be some team that played 51 games that makes it on the basis of like percentage points. It's just,
I thought we can
see the end, but it's going to be rough in the meantime.
I'm not sure what they're supposed to. Like, there's really nothing they can do. They can't not play the season. And they got to play the season.
Got to try.
They got to make money. Yeah, right. They got to try. So, and then, you know, if you're talking about how it affects the Warriors, you're talking about a team that can't practice. The Warriors probably a team that needs the most practice out of all these kind of contending teams in the NBA right now. Like, the Warriors got a lot of new guys. They need to play.
It's, yeah.
They're not the Lakers. They can't just play 50 games, you know what I mean? And they'll be fine for the postseason. Like,
I'm pretty convinced that the Lakers are just going to, like, get the sixth seed and then just be like, that's it. We're locking it down. We're just going to hang out here. If you want to take your COVID break, do it. I've never been more excited for a preseason game in my entire life. Like, I just have no idea what the hell this team is going to look like. And I can't wait for the overreactions off of one preseason game against the Sacramento Kings. Like, this is what I live for.
Oh, we get Denver first.
Oh, Denver. Yeah. Even better. I mean, because that team, you know, couldn't possibly be a fluke.
Yeah, I was going to say, the two players who got COVID, there's no way they're playing on the 12th.
No.
Well, so I mean, we're going to find out who it is. We're going to find out, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, didn't we already kind of find out by who didn't talk to us this past week?
It's either that or a media shutdown, but it does seem curious that Draymond Green didn't talk to media for 4 to 5 days and they didn't say anything about it.
It's a little peculiar.
Yeah, being as he's the leader of the team, yes.
and he was kind of hanging out in Mexico right before all this went down.
Well, he didn't send a formal note about his quotes to the media like Kyrie Irving. So something tells me he's just tied up with,
How many players around the NBA do you think saw that note from Kyrie and it's like, oh, I'm definitely trying that shit?
Kyrie and Katie run that org, but that'll be another fun season. If you're talking about looking forward to the season, that'll be another fun one, because it is good to have KD back in terms of the quotes. Like, it's good to see that he is the exact same person as he was before the injury. You know, just mentally,
where super authentic.
What he thinks about the media and people.
KD should just have Jay Williams recite all of his personal statements. Like, you only talk to Jay Williams. He's like the White House press secretary for Kevin Durant.
KD's slowly morphing into Larry David. It's just like, if you watched his media availability, it looked like an episode of Curb, where he just has so much just disdain for any sort of human interaction the whole way through. And I say that as someone who, like, it's my favorite show. I think he's the funniest man ever. But like, it's slowly, like, I've made the joke before, like, the whole Spite store, that's the Nets.
Right.
That is the Nets. And I'm so excited. Like, I'm very excited for them to be the first team to go under 500 and win an NBA championship on a pure Spite. Like, I think that's very much in the cards. Like,
could see that.
They're like a 35 win 8 seed.
Right.
And then
they do the play-in series.
Yeah. Then Kevin Durant and Kyrie just get hot because they are that talented.
Yeah.
And then fuck, it's
you.
Over.
You said we couldn't do it.
Yeah. I feel like they'd honestly like it more if they did that than if they had a dominant season. Just to spite people.
Dominance wouldn't be fun. Dominance draws too much attention.
I mean, dominance wouldn't be fun. We just saw KD for 3 years. So the dominance would not be fun for him. He hates it.
Touche.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the right point. I think that Kyrie put out that statement the other day via, do you know, like, was that through the Nets or was that through like an agent or a PR person?
It was a PR. It was, okay. I will pull it up, but it was definitely some, his personal PR, maybe his
so agent's much worse. PR. That's
I don't, so I can't, much. I'm gonna confirm this. So
nevertheless, like, I think that he sent that out to take away the heat from the quote he had about Steve Nash. And like the one where you called him more or less an entitled private school kid, because he's just like, yeah, once you actually talk to Steve, you realize like we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, it's okay. First off, just to confirm it, his chief communications officer of KAI Enterprise and Kyrie Irving and founder of the Sports Publicist. So
there's not enough beer in the world to get through that sentence again.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't really know what it is, but it doesn't really matter.
Nobody knows what it is.
But yes, the
it's the idea.
The Steve Nash statement where it's, you know, everyone's the coach and no one's the coach at the same time just reminds me of like private, like alternative education methods where it's like the students teach the teachers.
Oh. Is this Montessori school basketball? Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say soda, but Montessori is much better.
There's no such thing as a foul. You can do whatever you want, Kyrie.
It's just, I mean, that was the, that was where I was going with the analogy. I knew some people would get it. Other people would think I was, you know, off base, but
if they think you're off base, those are the people that you're really making fun of anyway. So that's just an all encompassing.
It is Montessori school basketball. That's actually the perfect way to describe it.
Here's the irony. Like, I'm kind of excited to see what a Mike D'Antoni offense with Kyrie Irving at the helm will look like. Now, I know that it will only show up like once a game for like 5 minutes at a time, but like that could be pretty spectacular.
Yeah. And like you throw in KD into that equation too. Awesome. I mean, it's going to be some sort of hybrid of whatever the Rockets did the last few years, which was disgusting. And whatever the Phoenix Suns with Steve Nash did, which was like beautiful basketball. And I don't think they're going to – well, one, they don't have, like, all the passers that the Suns had. But
you tell me Joe Harris isn't this incredible passer?
He is not Boris Diaw.
Yeah, valid. Give me that.
Or $27 million, though. $27 million.
He can shoot the ball. He can really shoot the ball.
Go stand in the corner, Joe. We'll pay you to go stand in the corner.
It's a good life. He probably doesn't care. Top
five shooter? Yeah. He's up there.
Has anyone cashed in more off of winning an NBA All-Star Weekend contest?
Than Joe Harris?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Nate Robinson was doing well. No, he's not doing well anymore. He's not doing well anymore, but...
Is he alive? Did, like, we get a confirmation that he's alive still? I'm not sure,
but he was doing well.
Joe Harris has shot 45% on over five threes a game the last two years. There's a short list of guys who can shoot like that.
But did he jump at any time? Like, can Joe Harris jump?
No. Yeah.
It's like the kid from Hoosiers.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say white men can't jump. Just the ringer out jump. There where he just comes in and just cannot miss a single shot, but no one thinks he can play.
It is funny. Kirk went and saw that, and then he looked at Duncan Robinson and he said, "You know what? We're gonna get our own Justinian Jessup. We're gonna get our own dude that can't jump but can shoot 45% from three." You know, I think that's what they were thinking.
Yeah.
No Jessup slander. He's like their third second round pick and he's in Australia. It's not really.
Do the Warriors really have like a quota where they have to waste a second round pick every year though? Like,
absolutely.
And then really upsell it, like go hard about it.
At least we're beyond the days of how like Jordan Bell was going to change the world.
Yeah. You see, I feel bad about the Jordan Bell thing. Like I talk a lot when I do NFL stuff about how you have to have, you know, you have to have the crazy, like you can be as talented as you want. And like the 49ers in particular, they always get super athletes, but then some of them just like aren't crazy people. And that's the only way to be successful in the NBA.
Sure.
In the NFL, like in the NBA, like they're all pretty great athletes, but you have to have like a level of professionalism to survive. And Jordan Bell just didn't, but you know, he's got good taste in candles.
That was one of the funnier stories.
they were holding on. They were giving him so many opportunities to like stop being a fuck up. And then he's just like, no, check this
out. Because he would randomly have big games against good teams. Like, remember Christmas? The one that Steph didn't play? He started at center, and he was really good. And you're just like, he's...
In theory, like a 6'9 guy who can run the floor, like a smaller JaVale.
Yeah.
And you can play him longer. And, like, he protected the rim a little bit. Like,
he was better at switching than he was at like guarding bigs, if anything.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't as if he was like clearly not useful. No, you could play.
This isn't a smiley situation.
They just didn't like him.
He played against the Rockets in the freaking Western Conference Finals. Like, it was amazing. I thought the guy was going to be, and he could pass.
I kept waiting for him to turn the corner because, like, you can see the skills. There was a skill set there to be a useful winning player. But
like, what does it tell you that he's been on like 9 teams since and not one of them's kept him around?
Crazy.
Like,
I mean, it tells you everything you need to know.
Totally.
teams will put up with anything if it helps them win.
Right. I
mean, watching Tyreek Hill right now, literally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. There he goes.
I think worst thing that ever happened to Jordan Bell was Kevon Looney. Not for any reason whatsoever of like the athleticism or anything, but just because Kevon Looney is like the ultimate pro who just like never says anything to anybody and just like nods and says yes, sir, like 5 times a day. And that's his total communication. Like, you just can't have that as a compare and contrast in the same locker room for the same role.
Also, Looney just started getting really good. Yeah. And he just kind of stole a spot. Like, I remember the beginning of camp, we're all like, okay, well, Zaza's going to start.
Oh, God.
And obviously Draymond's going to close. And the question is, who's going to be that, like, smaller other center we throw in the mix? And everyone's like, it's going to be Jordan Poole. And somehow Looney steals a spot from him. And at that point, remember, we were all under the impression, like, Looney was done.
Right. Well, because, like, he had 3 hip reconstruction surgeries and was 22
Way too many hip surgeries for a man that young.
Like, three hip surgeries is too many surgeries for any man at any age. Like, at some point, you got to be like, they had to, like, reteach him how to run.
It's crazy.
Like, what are we doing?
It's crazy. But, I know Drew Schiller, friend of the show, had hip surgery, and he's been out, and he was that was a legend.
And that's why he's not on the Warriors roster right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that is
he
why.
He could have been signed to a 10-day, an Exhibit 10 last year.
I'm not convinced Smiley Geach is better at basketball than him. So
Schiller can ball. Yeah, guy is a legend.
There's 2 Smiley Geach things that I want to get off.
Honestly, I wonder if Drew could. They really do need a shooter.
He gets his shots blocked. Burling like, that's the thing. You say, oh, like, I could just stand in the corner and Joe Harris and, like, no, I'll give him
shit. Of course not. Yeah.
But, like, the ability to, like, see the floor and, like, not get your shit just thrown back in your face every single time. Like,
I mean, not all of us can be 6'7". At least 2 people on this podcast cannot be 6'7".
First off, you're shorting me a couple inches. But second, like, I would still get my shit thrown back in my face every time because, like, there would just be one guy that I wouldn't notice and he would fly across the court and I just wouldn't see him and he'd just shove that shit in my face because he can jump way higher than me.
I think everyone's had that moment where you play in a pickup run that's too good for you and like you're feeling a little cocky, you get out there and it's very humbling.
Dude,
you consider never picking up a ball and trying again.
I straight up did that. And it was, so you remember during, I think it was the NBA finals. I could be wrong. Yeah. The NBA finals a couple of years ago, they had like the media pickup game thing.
Yeah. In Walnut Creek.
Yeah. There was a prior version of that game that wasn't broadcasted. And it was Nate Duncan was putting on these pickup games down at UCSF.
Yeah.
And like he invited me one time and I'm like, I don't think that's a great idea for anybody involved. Like I played a little in college. Like we're not like I've let it go. This is going to be bad. And he's like, nah, like, come on out. And like I knocked down one shot and I'm like, okay, I got this. And then they engaged and I'm like, oh, that was my highest gear the entire time. And I just got my ass kicked for like 48 straight.
That's the best. When you hit a shot, they're like, okay, we have to respect him. And then it's just
never set the bar for yourself. Just immediately clank one and then, you know, come as a surprise later on. It's the Allen Smiley Geach story.
I thought I was going to say Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole is getting the pub this preseason. So
I didn't realize it was Jordan Poole week. And then I started logging on to twitter.com.
It's always Jordan Poole week.
Oh boy. My man Wes Goldberg, who's the Warriors writer at the Merc, is all in on Jordan Poole, and I just don't have the heart to tell him that it's just not going to work out the way he thinks it is.
So this is the perfect way to transition to actual Warriors topics that we meant to get to on the show. I was going to do some over-unders with you.
Let's do it.
But ooh, they don't even have a line for Jordan Poole. So while I want to believe
basically everything Poole, is exceeding expectations.
Yes, 0 points per game, over-under.
Tony Snow.
Exactly.
0-0.
I was going to say, actually, on the Jordan Poole note, I really want him to be good. Like, they need a guard off the bench who can create their own shot. Because right now, just looking at the roster, it's going to be fine when Steph's on the floor, and it's going to just be bleeding points when he's off.
You tell me that the Wiggins ISOs with Smiley Geach and Draymond just yelling, Draymond just wondering what he did to deserve this fate, aren't going to work?
I wish there was a way to show the listeners Andy's just look of disgust right now.
Just Draymond yelling. Draymond yelling is just, we're going to get a lot of that this year. Actually, yeah, let's do the over-unders before we get there. Let me pay the bills. Bet online. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online. Yeah, we got shelter in place. It is back, guys. I think starting in like 3 hours. So good times ahead for people in San Francisco.
Drink up.
Drink up. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win the season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. I guess it's a football Bet Online ad, but I mean, you can bet on Jordan Poole if you want. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to Bet Online. Take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Promo code BlueWire, betonline.ag. Blue Wire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. All right, we got one more. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates and quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it in fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit, indeed.com/bluewire. Best offer available anywhere. Go right now, indeed.com/bluewire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
That was moving.
Yeah.
There are bills to be paid, my man.
Hey, trust me, you should hear the stuff I have to read on KMBR. It's wild.
I am sad. We don't have Blue Chew or Manscaped anymore, but I'm hoping KJ can bring that
KJ?
Back.
Get it together.
It's the holiday season. We're in shelter in place. No one needs Blue Chew. No one needs to shave. We're just.
Well, maybe one of us. I guess one of us.
Now is the time that you can carve out the 4 or 5 days it takes to tame your undercarriage with Manscaped. Like, you got nothing but time on your hands.
Well, that was a good read. Wow.
I know.
That was a good one. Wow.
They're not paying us right now. We're not going anymore.
Manscaped is a terrible product that you should never use.
All right, let's get into it. So BetOnline released over-under prop bets. So let's start with Steph Curry here.
Yeah.
So over-under for points and assists are 26.5 and 6.5 assists. Okay. We'll start with Dieter. What do you think about that? And talk me through your logic here.
Well,
and the caveat is he stays healthy for the whole year, because I don't want to have a weird depressing pod about injuries.
Yeah, no, he averages 32, but plays 7 games. I would venture to say that it is going to be a more inefficient 28-29 on the points. He just has to carry too much of the load. The offense revolves around him and nobody else. There's nobody to really take any of the slack away.
Literally no one who can shoot.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're counting on Andrew Wiggins. So cool. Yeah.
Outside shooting.
Right. Yeah. So I think he's going to like chuck 15 threes a game and knock like seven of them down and two of them just in like how the fuck did he do that fashion. And he'll end up with like 28. He will be very tired, but I'll go over on points. And I will take the under on assists on the principle of I don't think anybody else on this team is going to be able to consistently score.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with the over. I think it's one or the other, right? I don't know if he's going both over. I also don't think the days. I think he averaged a lot of assists when he was first coming in
the league. You want me to read the numbers to you?
Right, early in the league, reference. Yeah. Right, he used to average a lot.
With Mark Jackson, he averaged 7 and 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Draymond grew as a playmaker, it dropped to – this is actually interesting.
Yep.
It was 6.7, 6.6, 6.1, and then 5.2 the last KD year when he was basically relegated to only off-ball activity.
Yeah. Right. Which makes sense. Like, I don't think it makes him like a worse – it doesn't mean that he's a worse passer. It just means that, one thing, defenses aren't going to allow the guy to – they're going to double him. And when they double him, it's not that he's automatically finding Wiggins for a layup, right? Or Clay or KD for a layup. It's that he's giving it to Draymond, who's then getting that assist. So he's probably going under on the assist, I would think. And then the points, yeah, I'm with you on that. And I guess I disagree a little bit on the – they may not have a consistent score, but I think we're going to get some over-unders on the other players coming up. So.
It should be noted that Steph has only gone over 26.5 points twice in his career, and that was 2018-2019 and the best offensive season in the history of the NBA, 2015-2016.
Yeah, and – it should also be worth noting that in all the in the last 6 years, he's averaged pretty much 30 points per 36 minutes. Kerr has kept his minutes down.
For sure.
I don't think Kerr is going to get that luxury anymore. I think Steph's going to have to play 36 minutes a game. He's going to have to take something in the realm of kind of what James Harden and those guys do in terms of minutes they play. I won't look the same. He's not going to dribble the ball to the top of the key for 20 seconds every possession, but
oh man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take the over on both, actually.
Okay.
I think the assists will come because Draymond's going to probably lead the team in assists. Scoring and he's an excellent passer. I don't know that anyone else on the team can really pass the ball. Wiggins is okay. And I think Steph's going to get a lot of assists in transition. It's going to be a lot of outlet to Steph on the wing, Oubre running, throwing it to him for a layup. We're not going to get the cool Steph dribbling through the defense, finding Clay in the corner assists because I don't think they have the shooters to do that sort of stuff. But I think he's going to get them out in transition a lot more. And they really only have two playmakers on ball. So just by virtue of that, I think he'll probably get closer to 7 assists and Draymond will probably get 7. And honestly, you have two guys doing that. You're fine in terms of playmaking.
Yeah. With you. I also think just cause he's going to average these great numbers, which I think we all agree that he may, and maybe he has to. I'm not sure if that means he's going to be a better player than he was the last few years. Like he might be.
No,
like,
of course not.
I would say like maybe 90%. Right. But I think, there is going to be a little bit of like, the kind of the James Harden thing where it's like, yeah, he's putting up numbers, but that doesn't mean like he's the best player in the league. Like where people say James Harden, just cause he's averaging 38 points on 45 shots means he's the greatest scorer of all time type of shit. So, but I think he still has enough to
one last Steph prop over under on 3-point percentage, 43.5%. Keep this in mind. His career is 43.5%.
Yeah. That's tough.
Obviously he's shot above it many times, but he basically lives at about that percentage, which is insane when you consider the quality of shots that he takes.
Yeah. I think he's going to have to chuck a lot of threes this year. Most he's ever attempted per game in a season, 11.7. He's going to have to be around 13, probably even 14.
I think he's really happy about that, to be honest.
Why not? I mean, listen, man, you know, desperate times, desperate measures. I'd probably go under. Like, he'll probably lead the NBA in three-pointers made, but it won't be at the supernova clip that he usually gets. I'm curious on his effective field goal percentage, too, because there was definitely a dip in the prior 2 years with his finishing at the rim, which is kind of what made Steph Curry, Steph Curry. Like, he finished at the rim at like a Kyrie LeBron level, but he also knocked down more threes than anybody else. And I need to see how he performs around the hoop and how much he tries to penetrate, because just chucking it ain't gonna cut it.
It is worth noting he's increased his free throws every year, and he started doing, I don't want to say foul baiting, but to a degree, I think it finally got through to him that, you know, playing honestly isn't going to be rewarded, and he needs to sell calls, and that's what got him from like 3 free throw attempts to 6 or 7. And I mean, he's still going to hit. He's going to lead the league in free throw percentage. If he doesn't lead it, it's going to be one of those things where it's like someone is beat him by like a quarter of a percent.
Joe Harris on his 100 free throw.
Literally, attempts. Brad Wanamaker led the league on like 1 free throw a game. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think he goes? Do you think he does 40, 50, 90 or whatever? What is the go-to? 50, what is 50, the magic 40, number?
90 would be unreal on the amount, on the volume. 50, 40, 90 is going to be
That'd be incredible. Do you think he does it?
No. 40, 50, 90 now.
40, 50, 90. Thank you. There.
No, because he takes too many threes.
Dropping below 40% would be pretty bold for one Stephen Curry.
Well, I'm saying 50% from field goal and then 40 from three. If he
okay, got you. On the baseline of just the raw number, yeah.
Yeah. If that's how we define it, even though it's kind of an inaccurate way to define
you're
it.
You're right.
Like, he has gone 50% on twos, 40% on threes, 90 on free throws. I want to say like the last 5 years in a row at least.
Yeah.
So
it's always confusing because some people do 50% on twos, but then some people do 50% field goal, which is a little different. But
if it's on twos, then like, a lot of people have done it. If it's on field goal, then not many people have done it.
James Wiseman's going 50 from twos this year, baby. Is he alive? Is James Wiseman alive? Actually, we'll get to that. Those props next. The volume that he's going to have is insane. I'm more curious about how many shots is he going to take. 20 shots was the most he's ever taken, 2015-16 in that one season. So
yeah,
he's going to have to shoot just a little bit more than 20 shots.
I'm gonna give you guys one more set of Steph Curry numbers here. Ooh. So last time we saw Steph play meaningful basketball was when KD was hurt in the 19 playoffs.
Yes.
He played 11 games without Durant. And obviously that's against the best competition. Like, playing the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals is not predictive of what he's going to see Tuesday night versus
To be fair,
COVID-laden team.
The 11 games without Durant were what? One game against the Rockets, four games against the Portland Trail Blazers, and five and a half games against the Raptors?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, at least 4 of those games is pretty indicative of what you'll see on a random Tuesday night.
Yeah, pretty much. And in that 11-game span, he averaged 33, 6.3, 6.3. So 33, 6, and 6 in 40 minutes a game. He took over 22 shots.
Yeah.
12.6 of them from 3. And here's the interesting part. 9.1 free throw attempts. He obviously made 95% of them. I'm trying to remember when he missed a free throw in the playoffs ever. But the point stands. I kind of feel like that might be more – like, I think he may start generating a lot more free throws. That might be something we see this year that we haven't seen as much, because he's always kind of when the team needs him, he's willing to drive and draw the fouls. If it's like a Tuesday night and he has KD and Clay next to him, he's not really trying to, you know, bait foul calls.
Yeah, why the fuck would I want to do that when I can just keep it moving and someone else is going to knock down a shot?
Exactly. So
except
I'm wondering,
that ain't going to be the thing.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this will be a year where he sets his career high in free throw attempts, gets to the line a lot more. No one really likes watching free throws, but it is effective and you do need to do it. So,
I mean, I guess then the flip side of that, and I agree with you, but like the flip side of it is you gotta get hurt a little bit to make that happen. Like, you have to put your body on the line. And I know the guys are getting lighter. It's a lot of contact. He's got to do it for all 72 games for the war. I mean, like, save for what? Like 5? He'll get 5 days off. Like,
sure.
So, is that the best usage? You know, is that the way to go about it? I think that this team pretty much is, you know, waved goodbye to any home court advantage opportunities that they have. They're just going to try to make it. Try not to make the play-in game, and then get into the tournament and let that championship medal take over. So I don't know how hard he's going to go into the paint. Now Wiggins is setting a high.
Do we have like, Wiggins
Andrew,
props?
That, run that in there. We should go.
I do have Wiggins props. Should we move there next?
Yeah. Why
not? All right. Wiggins my over guy. Under 19 and a half points.
Woo! Can you give me some banner. Context here?
Yeah, I'll give you some context. Do you want to know what he's averaged? What he averaged with the Warriors?
Yeah, give me like the last 3 years.
All right, last 3 years combined, Wiggins has averaged
a lot of points.
He definitely gets shots up. 18.9 points. That includes the Jimmy Butler year where he didn't take a lot of shots. Last year, he averaged 21.8 points a game. Mm-hmm. And with the Warriors, he averaged 19.4.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting with the Warriors, they weren't exactly extending his minutes. It was very much, let's give him 28 to 30 minutes to see what we have. But
he averaged 33 minutes a game.
Oh, it's 33? Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go
which,
there.
Which
I'm
is,
with you.
Which,
I, no, which listen, is not
it,
enough.
No, you're, well, can, for that team, yeah, it's surprising it wasn't the full 48.
No, no, but I'm saying for like this year, he's there's no way he's playing 33.
Yeah, he's a 36-minute
probably
guy.
In a 36, 38, 36.
I mean, isn't, yeah. Doesn't that kind of say everything you need to know about this Warriors team, though, that like Andrew Wiggins has to be a like nearly 40-minute a game kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean.
Ball code Drew? I don't know. I'm kind of all in on him.
Hey, listen. By the time the season starts, that Photoshop, he's just going to be fully engulfed by those biceps. So, I'm in on it.
19.4 points. You watched the one game that we really only have one game that we can go off of, the game that he played with Steph. Open shots galore, and ironically against the Toronto Raptors that they played it against. Made a couple threes in that game. Gave me like four or five. Really ugly, but they went in. I think, which is kind of just that's just Andrew Wiggins. I'd go over just because I think he's probably going to be someone that's playing a lot with the bench as well. You kind of just need the guy to average more than that. He's averaged 24 points almost, 23 and a half years ago with the Timberwolves, and he played about 37 minutes a game. So I'd probably say he's going to play that amount.
It's a good line. I'll say
it's
that.
A great line
because I can talk myself into either direction. I actually my Wiggins take is I think he's going to be more useful on defense. And as a ball mover for them than as a scorer.
Okay.
This is where the Clay injury really sucks because, like, he made – forget the contract. The contract is what it is. He's not a max player. But he was – he kind of fit the bill as a guy who could play off of Steph and Clay and Draymond pretty well. Now, obviously, no Clay. He's going to need to do a little more.
The question is how many shots is he going to get up per game? And if we're at 18, 19 –
Probably not ideal,
but like he's just not an efficient shooter. Like he's best he's ever done.
But does he need to? Because this is.
Well, yeah, now we're just talking percentages, right? Like if we're talking about, listen, for the Warriors, I don't know, but for this 19.5 prop that we've been so graciously granted by your official sponsor, like we need volume.
Yeah. I mean, last year, okay, we'll use the 12 game sample at the Warriors. 19.4 points on 15.7 shots. I would take that.
That's pretty
but
good.
Yeah. But to top that, we're talking he needs to be in the 16 to 17 shot per game range.
Which I think that's extremely reasonable.
Like, that's probably where he's going to be.
Right.
Like less than Klay Thompson took, but more than Harrison Barnes took back in the day, which is probably inappropriate.
It's kind of where he slots in general in life.
Yeah.
Like significantly less than Clay, but better than Harrison Barnes. Yeah. I'll take under, but barely. Like, I think he averages like 19 flat.
Okay. I think I'm going to take under as well. I think they're going to get, I think we're going to see the way I see this Warriors team's playing out is Steph averaging 30.
Right.
And then we're going to see Oubre, Wiggins, throw Pascal into the mix, a bunch of these guys in the mid-teens. And it's not that they're good or bad. It's just going to be a committee basis around Steph. And I think that's going to lead to not necessarily having the second scorer in the way that we're used to having with like Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant or however you want to put it. And all of that leads to Wiggins maybe averaging 18 and a half, 19 points. Honestly, it's probably better for the Warriors if he averages 18 points and plays good defense than if he tries to get up 23 and, you know, starts conserving himself on defense because he needs to score more.
it's just jarring, like, how much the efficiency of this team is likely to dip because Clay's not around. Like, straight up, like, just not having Clay, who's just going to knock down shots at, like, a crazy clip for no good reason, is really not great for the overall volume versus output, you know, percentage game that they're going to play. And the Warriors have more or less been predicated on being hyper efficient on the offensive end. So,
okay, let's back this up then. This isn't an over under line, but the one thing Steve Kerr has said a bunch the first week and before that is defense and running makes all the sense in the world given the roster. He has athletes. He doesn't have necessarily half court technicians.
Totally.
And he keeps saying we need to be a top 10 defense. That's his goal.
Yeah.
Do you think they can be a top 10 defense? What do you think the ceiling for this team defensively is? We all know who the roster is by now.
Yeah. They can probably pull it off, but they would barely squeak in. I think back, and I'm sure we're going to hear this whenever Draymond does talk. I think back to last year with D'Angelo Russell and Draymond being like, Draymond, I mean, just like straight up like incredulous in a scrum, remember those, was like, I can teach D'Angelo Russell how to be a good defender. Like, he is long enough, he is smart enough, I can teach him how to be a good defender. And I remember about three games into the season before Steph broke his hand, Draymond's like, some guys just don't want it. It was like, I'm fascinated to see if that kind of happens again with a guy like, let's say, Kelly Oubre, who has the potential to be a really good defender.
He has the tools, for sure.
Like, he is long as shit. And, like, he's pretty feisty on ball when he wants to be, but he steal hunts, and he has no, he just doesn't have any focus. Like, I don't know if he can be a good team defender, because I've never seen him focus long enough to actually, like, make it reasonably possible. And I know everybody watched, like, the YouTube highlights of him just, like, swiping balls and going for dunks.
Right. Shouts to Antonin, yeah, who the fuck that is.
And then you flip on, like, an actual game, and it's just, like, it was very D'Angelo Russell-esque, where it's like, wow, I didn't know that you could put up that little resistance and still be on the court as an NBA defender. Like, that's incredible. So that's the guy. Like, Wiggins is going to give you average, and if you're lucky, above average defense. And, like, that's
he gave us above average for 12 games, and so we're already putting him in the Hall of Fame. We can already slot him in. Kawhi, your second team defense now.
And then what else are you dealing with? You're dealing with James Wiseman, who is going to have to adapt to the speed of the NBA. He's a rookie. He's going to have to adapt to the speed of the NBA game, Draymond barking at him, and like, yeah, like a million things going on. And it's like, dude, I could see him being awesome on the defensive side. Like, they say, you never have to score a point. Just, like, focus only on defense and we'll figure it out on the other end. Like, do some tip-ins if you're so inclined. Looney's a good slow it down. Like, I don't want Looney when you're running. Like, Steve Kerr's like, we're going to run a lot. And I'm like, no, that means you're not playing Kevon Looney ever, because Looney can't run. Like, he just straight up can't run. He's had like four hip surgeries. So I don't know, man. Like, it really does. Like, I like Wanamaker. I think he'll actually provide some defensive stoutness, because that's pretty much what he provides, stoutness, with the second unit. But, I mean, I was talking to my man Wes, and he's like, oh, they're going to be like a chaos defense. And I go, oh, that sounds super awesome until game seven, when it's like, no, it would be great if we could, like, get in a set and not have a team score.
So let's not worry about game seven right now.
Yeah, if they get there. I think so.
We're
last
talking
year,
about the whole season, though.
Defensive efficiency. I talk about the Miami Heat, I think, every podcast. Sam talks about the
Boston
Celtics.
Miami
was a 12th ranked defense last year. They have Bam Adebayo. The Warriors have Draymond Green. And then outside of that, I mean, they had Iguodala. But he's
they got him at the end of the season, though.
Yeah, he's kind of washed. Also, wasn't that good?
He's definitely got a Tide pod or two in the washer.
I think the Warriors are in that kind of tier. Like, if Steve Kerr is good enough, if Ron Adams is good enough, I think that should be about the tier that they're in terms of defense. And that they can get to. Because I think the problem with Kelly Oubre is not that he could be like D'Lo. I think he's going to try a lot harder than D'Lo. D'Lo don't give a fuck. D'Lo is let me average 25 points a game. on that. 26 shots a game kind of
guy. I buy that. I'd like to give Kelly Oubre the benefit of the doubt in that.
Yeah, that's at least for me.
I learned everything I knew about D'Lo by, like, he was happier when he dropped 30 in a loss than when he had, like, 15 in a win.
He's James Harden light, but, like, really light James Harden, you know?
Doesn't yeah, have maybe. Nearly the strip club reputation.
I mean, he's not stimulating the economy the way James Harden is.
Houston is on a V-shaped recovery, but only the adult entertainment industry.
You guys are all right. Let's keep moving here, boys. Let's keep moving.
It's just all arrows, right. Just pointing straight up.
Well, let's get to Draymond Green here. All right, Draymond has three over underlines here. So points, rebounds, assists, 9.5.
I thought it was
going
to be ejections.
We can get there next. 9.5, 7.5, 6.5.
The triple single.
Classic.
That's kind of what he's averaged anyway, but
I know. Well, last year, what? He did 8.
We're not counting last year.
8, 6, and 6.
Something like that.
On 40
year before
effort.
That, he did 7, 7, and 7. That's just lucky.
Mr. 7.
What were the numbers again? Sorry. I was
9.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists.
All right. Give me the over on points because I believe
he's getting to double digits again.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And he's making the all-star game.
Oh, boy.
Give me the under on assists.
Okay.
Wow. At 6.5. I think he'll come in at 6.
Okay. So same range.
Yeah, no, like, listen, these are great lines. They're fantastic lines.
Shouts to BetOnline, promo code BlueWire.
BetOnline just, you know, really making it here. You're not really giving us much to work with here. But I'll also do the under on rebounds on the premise that they're going to have some, like, legit centers on the floor pretty much at all times. Like, I don't think Draymond's going to play very much five at all this year. So
it's not going to have Rodman games.
No, or I think more appropriately like Russell Westbrook games.
Yeah.
Steph Curry could have some Russell Westbrook games.
Curry,
Russell
I would Westbrook probably line. Take the over on rebounds. That sitting around?
Yeah. We do not have a Steph rebound line, well, but I think that should be easy money. Come on, bet online.
God damn.
All right. I'm going to also go over on points. I think points is the only one I feel confident about. Yeah. Like the assists – he could average 6.2. He could average 8.
Right.
It doesn't really change any. Like, he's going to be the same player in terms of passing the ball. It's not going to be his fault if no one can hit a shot around him other than Steph.
Also, like, a good thing with Draymond, like, he'll have a lot of secondary assists. Like, that's not a problem. Right. Like, it's probably with this offense actually being, like, better. It will be unquestionably better. Mm-hmm. Like, he won't get as many assists because the ball will actually move a little bit more.
I think he'll go over, and I think he'll over quite a bit on the assists. I think this team is going to play a lot faster in terms of pace. He'll run a lot more. Steph will run. There'll be no KD. Like, he doesn't have to yell at KD anymore.
Draymond taking it off of the rim is easy assists for the most part.
It is the best. It is one of the most lethal plays. Now, he can't finish.
Second pass.
Can't finish. Yeah, if he takes it off the rim, he's not finishing. He did in 2015-16. That's why I'm taking the under on the points. Mm-hmm. But I am fairly confident that this team is going to play pretty fast, and that's going to work, especially when you've got – to throw Wiseman in there. But what I really want to say is Draymond, Kelly Oubre, and Andrew Wiggins running up the floor on the stops that they do get. And if they're a top 15, top 12 defense, like, he is going to average quite a few. I'm fairly confident on that. The points and the rebounds, I'll probably go under. But I guess I'm not really worried about the points. I've given up on Draymond with the scoring, and I don't think he'll be back. But if he can get Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins easy shots in transition, I that's all I want. That's all we need to see.
Yeah. Just get him into the offense, right? Sam, do you have numbers on this? You got plays?
Andrew, yeah.
Yes, I'm thinking – I'm mostly in line with Andy on this one in terms of I think they're going to play fast. In general, I think we've exhausted the Draymond props here, but it does bring up the interesting point, like, how fast will they play in general?
What was their pace last year? Do you have that readily available?
I do have that available for you. I'm going to let you guess before I tell you.
This guy's got everything available. Jeez.
I'm going to say one.
Don't worry about that. Just place in the league. Like first, 18th. 13th.
18th.
Okay.
18th.
15th. Literally middle
God,
of the road.
God damn it. Gotta go chastise myself.
I think they need to be top 10 in pace. I think they need to be top 5 in pace,
five,
honestly.
Top 5, yeah.
Yeah, this is a Don Nelson team. There's no other way to put it. Yeah. This is a team that needs to force turnovers and run and use their athleticism on you. And if that doesn't work, let Steph dribble and do something crazy. Because God knows they're not going to be executing in the half court and like slow it down sets versus like the Lakers or Clippers. That's not their game. And that's fine, but it's just not their game.
I'm in on it. Who were the top 5 in pace last year?
Top 5 in pace. Last year's numbers, by the way, are a little tricky because of the COVID shutdown and everything. Yeah. But with that said, yes, it was a thing that happened.
Still happening.
Oh, that's true.
Never end. Never fucking end.
Thank you for being a responsible human, Andy. Top 5 in pace last year. Milwaukee Bucks, Houston Rockets, New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
I wouldn't have had the Rockets, but Russell Westbrook does just run a lot.
Fair. So, what if I run as hard as I can at the hoop and then throw it up in the air right underneath it?
Hey, that's a possession.
Yep.
Rockets, Pels, Bucks. Huh.
Yeah. Well, okay. I can see the Bucks for sure.
Yeah.
I get the Pels.
Minnesota, who are the other two? Minnesota Timberwolves. I did not see that coming.
Wow.
But they did run a lot before the D'Lo trade, so maybe their numbers are skewed heavily. Hey, maybe Wiggins meant to play up-tempo.
Exactly.
Although the results weren't great for them. Anyway, and then the Atlanta
and they won't
Hawks.
Be again. And the Hawks. You know what the common thread with all those guys are? They got smart front office guys with all 5. No, I'm like sure actually. I mean, maybe not Milwaukee. All right. But they got Giannis.
Milwaukee didn't understand some very basic CBA stuff.
Let me pull that one back. But the other four.
Nate Duncan had a goddamn stroke when he saw the Bucks offseason.
Maybe they should hire Nate.
They should hire Nate.
Steph.
Just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, just traded into the room exception that you got going on. And they're like, no. What if we made this more difficult for ourselves?
Happy birthday to Giannis also.
Yeah.
Hope he enjoys his last year in Milwaukee.
The worst part is Giannis is going to leave Milwaukee, but he's not going to come to Golden State. And we're going to be like, all this for nothing.
All right. We're going to be off the show.
Can you cut that out the pod, actually? Sam's producing the pod tonight, so we're going to go ahead and cut that one out. Timestamp that.
I just don't know how the fuck it's going to happen. Like, what is he going to be like? You know, it would be great if the team that acquired me sends away all of their good assets in order to get me.
Besides Steph.
I mean, 15 NBA players have done that in the last 2 summers. So
how's that worked out for him?
It doesn't seem to be high on the priority list. Yeah.
I mean, like Anthony Davis, you could say.
It worked out for the Lakers.
It did work out for the Lakers until it doesn't. Like,
one more title is all you need. I will say, okay, back to the pace stuff. I will say the Warriors can't get there. That top 5. Like, I think that those front office tell me and coaching staffs tell me that that's something that they were trying to do. Yeah. If we believe Steve
Kerr, it's also worth noting, and I'm not going to pull the numbers up right now, but anytime Steph Curry is on the floor, top 5 in pace, the team.
That makes sense.
He puts a lot of pressure on defenses, and they always get out running. And then Draymond's also true. So to Andy's point, I think top 5 in pace is the easiest thing for them to achieve among the numbers we're talking about.
Right. Isn't there a direct correlation, though, between – well, I guess you could argue the exact opposite with the Bucks, but, like, the Bucks basically conceded three-pointers the entire year and just dared teams to shoot it. Like, I have always believed that there is a direct correlation between high pace, lower defensive rating. Like, it's difficult to play good defense when you're speeding up the game.
Yeah.
Unless you want to give up a bunch of threes, which maybe is the answer, but doesn't work in the playoffs. So –
historically, that's been true. That's why no one believed the Warriors were as good as they were in 2014-15 because they were like, how can you play elite defense and have the fastest pace in the league? So, you know, they kind of changed the game in that capacity.
The answer is you have Klay Thompson just knocking down buckets cold-eyed.
Yes.
Which they don't have now.
Who else do we have? Do we have Smiley Geach lines or maybe?
Yeah, come on.
You know, Vegas is taking him off the board because they don't want to give away money.
Yeah.
Because him getting 20 is a given. Yeah. Okay. We have Kelly Oubre and James Wiseman. So we'll do Oubre over under 18.5. Last year he averaged 18.7.
God, this is a good one.
Such a great line.
This is a good one.
Andy, I want to give it to you. I need some time to really take this into my dojo.
Because I'm in on Andrew Wiggins this season outside of the Balco stuff is that I think he's played one
season. Isn't that why you should be in on him, though?
You should be outside, super in on him.
Outside of that. Outside.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So starting with that and moving on from it.
Look, Barry hit 73. Like, I don't – like, the guy really should be averaging 24 at least a game. He's also
73 of basketball?
73 and 9.
Ah, got him.
Neither team won the title. I think that was rough. I don't know why. I really don't know why.
Man, it's just a cell phone.
I don't know why I did that. I'm in on Wiggins because he's also played with the team for a year. He knows the team. Yeah, he knows the team, but like at least he knows, like he's been in that, wait for it, culture that the Warriors have. Ron Adams loves Andrew Wiggins' potential on defense. I think he also does for Kelly Oubre, but it's just too—it's too early for Oubre. Like, if you told me Oubre was also on the team last season, I'd probably go over on this number. But for someone that's pretty new, and I don't know if, like Dieter was saying earlier, if he even understands what's going on the basketball court half the time, it may take him like 30 games, 20, 30 games. It may take the team like 15 games here, right, to really understand how to play with each other. And I think that goes for someone like Kelly Oubre. So I guess I'm going to take the under here just because, I don't know, I can't have two guys averaging 20 points. But I do believe in the Kelly Oubre.
Do you think that Oubre is going to get up 15 shots a game like he did last year?
Yeah, they'll need him to.
Easy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
they'll need him and Pascal too. Pascal.
I think this team's going to run a lot more than you do. And when you run, there's more possessions. Like, do I think he's going to get up 15, jab Steph into the mid range like Kevin Durant? Yeah. No. I think he's going to get a bunch in transition, off cuts, catch and shoots, which I don't know if it's his game, but he'll do it. So,
yeah. He will shoot it. And he can catch it. So sometimes those things will intertwine. Yeah.
He took 14.8 last year.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe shit Suns team.
Yeah, they weren't that bad.
Well, they weren't bad at the end. Like, that's the flip side when he wasn't there. Like, he went away and suddenly they started, like, having team chemistry and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned.
Worth monitoring, but like if you look at the Suns also, you have Devin Booker averaging 27. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton's good for another 18.
Ayton's good.
So I look at that and like obviously it's a completely different roster, but it's like, okay, Steph's going to be the volume guy the way that Devin Booker was. Like everything revolves around that guy. And then Oubre and Wiggins will be the guys coming in the teens next to him. And I think that's kind of how it's going to go.
Give me the number again.
18.5.
You guys are too low on this team.
Dude, I'm too low.
I could not be lower.
I could not be higher. So
I mean, that's. Oh, great.
I'm gonna let you respond to the 18. I'm gonna cut you off there.
I'll go under. I think it's like 17.5.
Okay. I mean,
I don't think it's like a scrub.
Just so we're clear, we're all arguing over like a half a percentage, a half a point. Like, he's gonna average 6.2, not 6.5 assists.
Fucking fight you with my fists over that half a point.
All right, I want to do this one last. Right now, the Warriors' line is 36.5.
Out of 72.
Yeah, so a little above 500. That has them as the 8 seed. Phoenix has been bet above them. Phoenix is, I want to say, 38 right now. But they are, according to Vegas right now, the 8 seed in the West with a little bit above 500. Where are you at?
Andy.
Bang the over. That's such an easy bet. You know what? I might throw the rest of my whatever money I'm making, I'm going to ask for more. Like, I'm going to ask for an advance, right? I'm just going to ask for an advance of like $200,000, $300,000, whatever.
We do have a guest bedroom, Mandy. Yeah. You're more than welcome.
I'm throwing it on the over. I think saw the 15th in the West from ESPN there.
14th. Give him some credit.
Yeah. What did I say?
15th.
Yeah.
Listen. The Timberwolves are still expected to suck.
Yeah. I think this is an easy over. I think this is a team that if you get – like, I don't even – like, we can talk Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre and Looney and I mean, you could even talk Draymond Green all day. But if you're telling me that Steph Curry's playing 65 games this season, they're not losing. They're not – right. But I'm saying –
that's the difference.
But I'm saying that he's playing – like, I'm just – that's what my hedge would be on, right? It would be saying, like, Steph is playing 65 games this season. They are not going under 500, which is this bet. I guess, one game or maybe even
I'm with
at
you.
500.
No, it's half a game over 500. I'm with you, Andy. I'm with you 100%, man. Like, if they actually get through a whole season, by the way, I think that they're going to have to throw these lines out immediately. Like, no one's getting 72 games. But, like,
I didn't even think about it from that perspective. Yeah. Let's assume they get 72. Let's assume in the context of above 500.
It's a win percentage. It's above 500. Like,
right.
If you get Steph for 65, if this team stays reasonably relatively healthy or above that, then yeah, of course they're going to, you know, be an above 500 team. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I paid for a wedding that I didn't get to have this past summer.
Whoa.
Off of Warriors under last year, because it's the same thing, just a little better. Like, last year they had the highest ceiling and the lowest floor of any team in the NBA because it was all on Steph. And then Steph breaks his hand in the fourth game of the year, and it's like, well, I guess we're dead then. This year it's the exact same thing. And I understand that the Warriors aren't the only team that has this going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is true for basically every team with like what's Denver without Jokic, right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's not the best – like, Denver without Jokic is interesting. Like,
they would suck.
There's probably three –
they can get through five games without him. Okay, they cannot get through three months without him.
Right.
I agree with that. Like, there's probably three or four teams in the NBA that can survive a player of Steph's magnitude going away for an extended period of time. And – like, it sure as hell ain't Milwaukee. Like,
I don't think there's any team, really. I mean, even the Lakers, if they lose their best player, done.
But, like, not finishing with 15 wins? Like,
true. That's the difference. Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder can at least limp you to a 30 wins. Seed.
Yeah.
LeBron can come back for the play-in games. So, I just have to take the under on the principle of, like, Steph Curry hasn't proven that he can play a whole year. Like, even the years – recently, when he has played the whole year, he's gone out for a whole playoff series. So I don't know. Like, I'm like, in my heart, if we're calling it, if we're turning injuries off on 2K, like, absolutely, I'm in on the Warriors. Like, I think they're probably the fourth or the fifth best team in the Western Conference. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'd probably even err a little higher because I think Dallas is overrated. I think Denver's probably overrated. Yep. Like, they could do it. Kerr's a good coach. They have talent. Like, I like the dudes, but. Then there's the whole, like, life thing that happens. And Steph Curry, like, I don't know how much tape you can put on Steph Curry's ankles and he can maintain his superpowers, but you need to tape those boys up.
With Steph's health, I will say the it's not something that I think – first of all, he hasn't played in 5 years. But I don't think it's something that it's like he's wearing down so much as, like, that wrist was a freak injury. And then the years before he did play – I don't know off the top of my head, Sam's going to correct me here, but I think he did play like four seasons of like almost 80 games, right, in a row.
Yeah.
So I think that the wearing down.
No. Well, Sam, can you correct him here? Because I'm pretty sure that's not true.
No, he is correct. Steph had, I mean, 80 is not correct, but okay.
We're 79.
51 and 69 in the 2 years prior to last.
Okay, and from 2012 to 2017, he played than 78 games.
Look, yeah.
78, 78, right. 80, like 79, 79.
Yeah, but like he was in his 20s.
And that's where the part is, like, if you told me that Steph played, you know, if he actually played last season, then I would say, shoot, I don't know. He might be worn down. He might be tired from last season. Maybe the thing is he hasn't played in a year and a half.
Where fucker better be healthy.
Exactly, right? Like, it might be something where, yeah, if he does lose 30 games this season, it'll probably be another freak injury, and that's not something I'm probably going to be like. I don't think he's going to have like a lingering knee or a lingering ankle, which he might have the last few seasons. So
my thought is that they did time and a half for five straight years.
Yeah.
Like that adds up, and while Steph is probably going to go first, I don't know what the hell the beginning of the season is going to look like. It's probably going to be janky as hell. But, like, I bet Steph goes thermonuclear early on, and it might not result in wins, but, like, he'll be awesome.
LeBron, just to be clear, during the run, he played 93 playoff games, and he missed multiple series there. So there's a team that played well over 100.
I'm not knocking the guy. Like, Steph Curry is the greatest thing that ever happened to Bay Area basketball. But I don't know, man. Like, you know, Sam's telling me, and I think accurately so, that he's going to have to go to the line more. I mean, just there's so much on his shoulders, and his body isn't one where he's – maybe he is spending $1 million, but he ain't built like LeBron. Like, LeBron's ankles are as big as my
– Yeah, why do, Andrew we waste all that, why do we waste all that Balco money on Wiggins?
Yeah, that's right. On Steph. That is true. That that's is what I'm saying. Unreal.
So if we're talking about 500, like, there's just no way that this is a 500 team without Stephen Curry playing the whole year. And they are if he plays the whole year.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like a massive margin. But it will be a massive margin under if he doesn't play the full year. So
here's my counter. Yeah. We all thought the bubble was not quite real playoffs. It's a Fair. Different type of thing, right?
I'm with you.
If that's the kind of basketball we're dealing with, doesn't that lower the risk of injury to Steph? There's a little less of the endorphin, you know, crazy fan, that type of energy. I don't know. I'm spitballing right now. I'm trying to think of ways he can stay healthier, because like at the end of the day, we can talk about Wiggins, Oubre, James Wiseman as much as we want.
Yep.
All that matters is if Steph is healthy. If Steph is healthy, everyone will fall into line and they'll reach whatever their ceiling is with this roster.
Yeah, Steph is healthy. They're winning all 50 games. Like, they're winning a lot of games.
I mean,
maybe not 50, but like, they're like, I think you made a great point though. I want to go back on that a little bit, because I don't think that these West teams are that great.
Agreed.
Dallas.
I made the point initially, so I guess I agree.
Yeah. Great point. Great point.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Utah. I think Utah might be like probably the third best team in my opinion. Just cause like, well, they might be the most,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Like, they might be the most consistent. They get Bojan back, who's a good player.
They're very consistent.
A very consistent team, and that may be all you need, because you look at Dallas. You said Kristaps is out, might be for the season. I mean, he says he's coming back, but I mean, my God, the guy is. I mean, you talk about injury prone. He is the, and he's not even that good. I honestly don't even think he's that good.
Well, so, like, isn't that the thing? Like, everything is about duos now. We talked about trios for a long time,
right?
But now it's all duos, and so you got LeBron and Anthony Davis. Guess what? Those guys ain't playing a full season. Like, just straight up, like, LeBron is going to show up on opening night, Christmas, and Martin Luther King Day, and skip every other game. Anthony Davis is going to like come down with the twisted ankle at the beginning of the season, and every we won't game. See him until March. Yeah. So like, they're getting the sixth seed, and it won't be a problem because they'll be awesome in the playoffs. But we're going to see a shit ton of Dennis Schroeder, which, you know, hey, everybody's got their own kink.
I don't know.
Clippers got a bunch of nonsense going on with that team. So who knows? They'll probably be the one seed, but like extremely fraudulent. The Rockets could, I mean, have they not already imploded? Like, it feels as if the implosion has already happened, and yet, like, there's still a building that's standing. I don't know.
I'm sure good things will happen there.
Yeah, no. Got good vibes off of the Rockets right now. Like, John Wall's really what they needed. you're probably, like, Utah's probably the one seed, which I think. If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, like Utah, who, by the way, like got slightly worse this past offseason. Like who, no one's like, ooh, Utah, like what a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah. If the Warriors are the 8 seed and Utah was the 1 seed, oh my God, I'm petrified.
Yeah.
Like, I bet you the money's coming in the Warriors in that series.
100%. Like, and that's kind of, I think, where it will end up. First off, as established, we're going to have the weirdest regular season in the history of the NBA. 72 games was only the start, because some team is showing up with, like, going to go full Miami Marlins, miss a whole month of the season. Maybe the Lakers on purpose. And just be like, hey, we made the playoffs with a 60%.
LeBron's going to just inject Quinn Cook and be like, yeah, guys, I guess we got to shut it down until I'm okay day here.
Exactly. Yeah, LeBron is going to put COVID into the system, like the air system on the plane. Just make sure that everybody gets it. And it's like, guys, I guess we got to take a break. And oh man, it's so weird that the plane landed in Antigua. Like, who could have seen this coming? The clutch island off the coast of Antigua. And yeah, it's just going to be a hot mess in like the worst possible way. Like, sometimes hot messes are fun, and this one is just like sad and depressing. And so maybe the Warriors can persevere through it. But like, I just think that we're just going to have to we're going to have to treat the entire postseason probably like the bubble again.
So
where it's like the entire thing is just like scrapped, like a safety car in F1. Like, we just do it again.
I think I was trying to get this earlier and I forgot. I think they're probably going to do a bubble again for the postseason. Like, that's probably the only way you can do it.
No, these dudes are going to be so. They're going to be bleeding antibodies out of their eyes. They're going to have so much vaccines. They're going to get all seven vaccines by the time the playoffs start.
Every pharmaceutical company will have, like, it will be warriors sponsored by Pfizer.
They're
going to
all look like Trump in that one post-vaccine press conference where he just looked like he was on so many different amphetamines.
We're going to have to talk about the post-steroid drop-offs after, like, all of these guys are, like, filled with Regeneron so that they can play in the postseason.
We're going to have light years sponsored by us.
Stefan Regeneron might hit 15 threes in a row.
Well, I'm saying with the bubble, it works out for the Warriors. If you're talking about Dame Lillard look great in the bubble, can you imagine what Steph is going to look like in the bubble? And then you're talking about guys like Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins who shoot about 34% from three. Like, yeah. That'd be going to 43. You know what I mean? Come to bubble. Like, these are guys, if you're talking about that helps them play. I mean, Anthony Davis, as Sam said, shot like KD from mid-range in the bubble.
Right.
Like, I mean, come on. I mean, we know Anthony Davis is good, but he's not KD.
People were talking up Jamal Murray like he was the goddamn second coming of Isaiah Thomas.
No, like they said, he played like Steph Curry. Like, he literally played like Steph Curry.
There's no one arguing that he was awesome, but it's also like, you know, he was playing the 2K Playgrounds mode.
It's not real.
The entire postseason.
Can you imagine what Steph is going to look like? I mean, there's already no player that's close to Steph. So if you're talking about.
Here's the thing, though. Like, Steph is an emotional player in a lot of regards. Like, this isn't to say that, like, Steph totally feeds off the crowd, but, like, the Warriors, or at least the old Warriors, and certainly they don't exist anymore, but, like, Draymond, crowd player. Steph, crowd player.
But wasn't, like, LeBron a crowd player, and he kind of figured that
full of shit. Good. Like, that's the problem.
that we all can agree on.
Yeah, like, LeBron's like, I'm not a crowd player. Like, dude, come on. Like,
fuck out of here.
LeBron's game has never, like, LeBron has been defined in his career at times for how he doesn't handle big moments. Like, how could he be a crowd player and not rise to occasions? Like, it's just counterintuitive.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I think he does love playing to the crowd, though.
Listen, no one's arguing that he loves playing to the crowd. His entire life is about what the audience will say in regards to what he says. Like,
by the way,
fame to the core.
To your Jamal Murray points, 45% on 7+ threes in the playoffs.
Complete bullshit.
It's not basketball.
What is that?
I mean,
that's NBA Street. NBA, like, that's he got the little fire over his head. That's not real.
That's Stefan Regeneron numbers, man.
We're leaving it
on Stefan Regeneron. So we just got to get through the season healthy, and then we get to see vaccinated Steph in a bubble shooting 80% from three.
This is perfect.
Antibodies were the cure all along to the Warriors' poor offensive game.
Maybe Draymond will shoot 30% from three with the vaccine. Maybe he'll
make Draymond the first guinea pig with the vaccine.
Oh, man.
Maybe he already has those antibodies. So I'm just throwing that out there.
And with that, Dieter,
we are done. Thank you, Dieter, for coming on.